Welcome to The Public Storyteller, a weekly podcast heard every month on folk and acoustic music. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal, a performance storyteller and author. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Here's one from Marcella Kogan.
I didn't want to go down to Boca Raton this year. My husband and I retired recently, and my in-laws died and left us their house at this luxury community in Boca. And I wasn't crazy about it. I mean, the place was beautiful, you know, country club. There was a clubhouse with a gorgeous gym and wonderful restaurants. But I associated it with my in-laws, who were wealthy people who had a good group of friends. They went out to expensive dinners a lot. And they were beautiful and thin and grand in some way. And I was not that comfortable being there. So when they left us their house after they passed away, I thought that the house was going to be sold. I didn't think that my husband was going to keep it. So when he said, we're going to go down there, I thought, oh God, well, I have to give it my best shot. So I went down there and my first impression was, oh my God, there isn't a single heavy person here. Everybody here is thin and beautiful. They all walk their dogs in strollers, which I thought at first it was a kid's stroller. I thought it was kids in there. And I just didn't know how I was going to do it. I tried to figure out a way to fit in with the community. Wasn't sure how I was going to do it. So I figured the only thing I can really do, I don't play cards. I don't play golf. I don't play bridge. I don't play tennis or pickleball. So I thought the one thing that I can do is go to the gym. And I had gone to the gym before while my in-laws were still living there. And I was very impressed with the facility. I mean, it had a sauna, it had a steam. I mean, my gym back home here in Chevy Chase, Maryland is, has those things too, but it's really like dingy. It's really dingy. People wear like threadbare tops when they go to the gym. And the women just wear whatever they want. I mean, nobody looks coordinated in terms of their attire. It's a city gym. So, you know, you have people who are working, people who are coming in, rushing to just get a workout before the end of the day. So I go to this country club's gym and everybody's dressed impeccably. I didn't realize that there was an actual type of outfit that everybody wore, like a uniform. What happened was that the first day that I went there, I was just wearing this oversized light brown sleeveless shirt from Old Navy that I bought for like $5 and a pair of red pants that had like black swirls in it. And so I just went into the gym and I saw this woman who I had met the previous years. And I thought that we had a really like nice relationship, a really good time, but she took a look at me and she just ignored me. She kept talking to other people. And I was like, well, what's, you know, like maybe she doesn't remember me, but she couldn't not remember me. That wasn't possible. But clearly like there was something about me where she didn't want people to see her talking to me. So we went into the gym and, you know, and I was a little bit winded because I hadn't exercised and there were people there who were like in their 80s who were in such good shape, who were bouncing around. You know, there were some exercises where you can alternate and do the walking while she was doing the jumping. And it wasn't until we were doing the side leg lifts that I realized I was the only person in the room not wearing a black top and black pants. And also, I was the only person in the room who was wearing glasses. So I thought, oh my God, like when I looked in the mirror and I saw everybody else, there was like the uniform. And then there was me, you know, with this really weird looking outfit that was definitely, I mean, they just labeled me as not being from there. So I came home and I told my husband, you know, I said, I don't know if I can fit in here. I don't have the right uniform. And so I decided that I was going to go to Walmart and just get a pair of black pants and a black top. I felt like it was a big concession. I worried that it was a slippery slope. I worried that maybe I would change political parties, that my writing, because at that point I was starting to get a master's in creative nonfiction, that my writing would go out the window and I would just look through magazines for fashion outfits to wear. So I was really, really concerned about that. But I went ahead and I took the plunge buying that outfit. So I went back to the gym the next day and I had the right attire. I thought I had signed up for a yoga class. So I was not wearing my sneakers. I just went in like with flip-flops. But everybody was wearing sneakers, and clearly they were not taking them out. They were not taking them off before class. And I realized that what had happened was that I thought the class was a yoga class, but in reality, it was some other class where you sit in a chair and do exercises. So I was barefoot. And I didn't want to leave and say, you know, I'm just not ready for this class. And so I ended up just, you know, the teacher said, well, you really need shoes. And I said, I normally do wear shoes for, you know, sneakers for class. I mean, I didn't want it to think that I walked barefoot from my house to the gym, you know, like people used to when they used to walk barefoot to school when they were poor and young. So anyway, so she so I ended up doing the whole class with the right outfit, but without the shoes. By the third and fourth time, I was really used to being there. I was much more comfortable. I went in and I began to really like it. I liked it when I said, yes, I'd like a bathrobe with slippers. And I went into the jacuzzi and I just lounged in there and luxuriated in there. And I felt like I could hold my own there. I didn't have to act like them or be like them. I could just be myself with this new outfit from Walmart. And then later on, I realized that even though I was the only one who was like disheveled, dressed, there were a lot of women there who weren't really with the program either. Anyway, so in the end, I just felt like it was really a good experience to go there. And I felt much more confident about myself. And it was just a reminder that it's really how I feel about myself more than how other people think of me.
Marcella Kogan, a story about adjusting to a new home.
Oh, Michael, this story really touched me, and I would imagine touches a lot of listeners who find themselves suddenly in a class situation. And she was just plopped into it.
She had this preconceived notion that she wouldn't make friends, wouldn't fit in.
Well, the really interesting thing, there are many interesting things about this story, but she'd been visiting her in-laws there for years, so she knew what this place was, but it never occurred to her until she moved there that she would need to fit in, you know? And I love it's called a parallelism, actually. I don't play cards. I don't play golf. I don't play bridge. I don't play. In other words, repeating the same words over and over again. And she does that for a great effect. She's a writer, and it's very clear. And that is to build up the ways in which she's different. And the fact that at the end, she gives them a chance, she's not that different after all, that clothing is not even skin deep, is a lovely turnaround, a lovely transition to this story.
I really like how she mentions how she sees strollers for dogs and not for babies, how her gym she goes to, you feel comfortable in cutoffs, but there's a uniform for gyms down here. I kind of wonder if any of her rubbed off on the other people rather than going the other way.
Somehow I really doubt it, that it rubbed off on the other people. And of course, there are gyms down here. My gym is more schlumpy. My word, not hers. This was, again, as she said, a luxury community in Boca. But yeah, she said she's the only person not in black. There are a lot of humor in this story, like saying, I hope I don't change political parties or, you know, a lot of humor. And I normally do wear shoes, you gotta believe me. But one of the ironies that I doubt that she picked up on, it didn't sound like it, but it was so, so cute, was where does she go to make this big concession to look like the others? She goes to Walmart. Now, look, everybody shops at Walmart, except me, maybe. But everybody shops at Walmart. And it's not like the rich are only going to buy their workout clothes at Dior. But still, it's funny, of all the places to name, you know, I go to the cheap place, but I'm dressed in black, and that's what matters.
Well, I thought she'd be teased about her Walmart outfit as well. It's a Lululemon. That's where you have to get your clothes.
Oh, yes, of course, Lululemon. But you can't see that it's Lulu unless you see the logo. You can't see where it came from. My workout top comes from, I think, Walgreens. And, you know, you can't really there. I've said it on radio. But you can't tell. They all pretty much look alike. You know, there's so much I guess you would say, in this class-conscious story, the rich are degraded. And I do want to say one thing on behalf of these rich people, at least one thing. And that is that these women were in their 80s. And as she says, they're in good shape. They're bouncing. I mean, that's wonderful. Now, true, they have the time and money and wherewithal and health to do this, but still, they're not sitting around eating bonbons. I also love, and this is kind of an aside, but any person who goes to a gym, particularly a non-athletic woman like myself, would notice this. If you start to really look at people, you realize you're not the only uncoordinated one. There are other people who are not coordinated. You should see me in Zumba, Michael. It is a howler. And a lot of people say they won't join a gym because they, or do Zumba at least, because they're uncoordinated. And I think, that's who needs it, right? That's who absolutely needs it. So I think when she said that she felt that she was labeled, first of all, although she's talking about the clothing, she may also mean how she works out. But more importantly than that, I think what she's really getting at in the story, and I may be wrong about this, is that a lot of what she's thinking is projection. And this is a beautiful story from a the point of view of a slightly unreliable narrator. And that is no offense to Marcella, quite the opposite. An unreliable narrator is a very difficult thing to pull off in storytelling. What it means is we can't necessarily trust what the person is telling us, but we can trust that the author, or in this case, the person who lived this, is wiser than the person she's telling the story about, if that makes any sense. In other words, she's talking about herself in the past, and she is thinking of what all these people are thinking. But we know that probably people aren't thinking much of anything. And even the woman who ignores her, she might not have been wearing her glasses, she might really not have remembered her from the year before. So one of the beauties of this story is that it shows us how our brains can just take over, our insecurities can just take over, and more power to Marcella. Congratulations, Marcella, that she didn't give up, that she's as good as anybody else, and that she can go to that gym and she could hold her own. And I think that is really what's going on here, whether or not she shifts political parties. She can hold her own in the gym and by extension in the community. And that goes to the essence of storytelling. She has changed.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. Dr. Karen Neal is a professional storyteller and author. My name is Michael Stock, and Karen, I'll talk to you next month.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, Michael.
Thanks for tuning in to Public Storyteller. It is a monthly feature on folk and acoustic music and can be found at all your favorite podcast apps.